All right, time to start the final hour of the show. Jason Ross here with you. We go to A's baseball at the top of the hour. It'll be the A's and the Mariners, and really a must-win game for the A's. Capital Casino is back with indoor gaming and dining located inside at 411 North 16th Street in downtown Sacramento. Always love talking football, and love to do that with Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com. He joins us to start our final hour here of the day. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing good, Jason. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Looking forward to another week. And one of the themes I've been talking about this week, Chris, is more rookie QBs. We're going to get to see, Davis Mills tomorrow night for the Houston Texans. And a word today, it looks like Justin Fields is going to get his first crack at starting. What should the Bears expect? What should the Bears do to make Justin Fields try to succeed in his first start?
Well, I think they'll employ in some of the RPO game and use his feet a little bit. I think that's what you have to do, and make the Browns defend an extra gap. And I think that's what they'll probably do. I think give them some half field reads, some rollouts. It'll be interesting to see what they do. At least absorbing a game plan, I think we get at least a bit of a feel for what he can do, and probably some things that he's not ready to do yet. So that's going to be interesting, and it will get interesting. Houston situations, you're correct. We're going to see you, but the four young guys that due to injuries, it was a tough week last week for quarterbacks.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, thinking about that, the best results so far have probably been of Mac Jones, but is that more of a circumstance too? Not taking something away from him, Chris, but I feel like the Patriots get the ball out of his hand quickly, run a lot of short stuff for him. Is they put him in a better chance to succeed than maybe some of these other teams?
Well, and they're a better team. So,
True.
They play pretty good defense. They run the football, and they do all those things that you mentioned. And his strength is the cerebral part of the game. He is a quick learner, a quick decision maker. I mean, he plays the game more from the neck up. He doesn't have as much physical skills as some of the other guys, so he doesn't rely on that as much. So he has to be a little bit ahead of the game from an understanding standpoint. He's played more football. He's played a lot of football in college and the backup role. And so I think you're right on. And I think that you've got to play in terms of playmaking ability. He's more of a distributor, more like a point guard as opposed to a guy that's a playmaker, that's more of a lead guard that's going to take and create his own shot. He's more about, like you said, get the ball out quickly on time, accurately to the playmakers, and that's really what that game is with him.
I think about right now what Trevor Lawrence and what Zach Wilson are going through, and they're a 1-2 pick because the teams were not good. They won a game a year ago in Jacksonville, and I don't think they have the best lines to protect him, the best weapons around him. You want to throw the guys to the fire, but you also don't want to kill a guy's confidence. That's such a fine line there. We've seen guys, Chris, as succeed, like Aikman and Manning go on to have Hall of Fame careers after brutal beginnings, but they knew they would be good. And then a guy like David Carr, who just, got sacked every week and never really got the support he needed. So where is that line when you kind of throw the guys to the fire like that?
Well, I think the line is really what you do as an organization. How much patience do you have? And do you build a good team around? I mean, let's take the Jets, for example. They had Sam Darnold in the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't put a good team around him. And, Sam's off to a good start in Carolina. We'll see what he's going to do. But he's a better quarterback than he showed in New York because they didn't put a good team around him.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Zach will be a good quarterback if they build a good team around him. They didn't, and the examples you gave, like with the Troy Aikman and a Peyton Manning, they weren't good when they got there. And those two guys were mentally tough, no doubt. But they also built good teams around those guys. Could you imagine if they were in a situation where you consistently messed up on draft picks and you had bad teams? Well, those guys wouldn't have had very good careers, nowhere near as good as they had, of course. I think they would have been good, but we'd have looked at them and said, those guys are a lot of talent. They're very talented, but they don't win big. Well, that's what you think of a lot of quarterbacks, and sometimes it's the quarterback, quote-unquote, not coming up in big moments, or, they don't have many big moments because they're not very talented. It's kind of what we're going to figure out with a Matthew Stafford. Well, he's not a winner. Well, I went to a couple of playoffs in Detroit, which they rarely ever do. You wonder what he would do with a better team around him. We'll get to see, but I think that's the key. I think it is a fine line. I think the biggest, the line of demarcation, though, Jason, is when is a guy ready to handle it? And how do you know that? Well, you know it through practice. You know it through, you know, in the classroom setting. Does he know the offense? Does he know what to do? Look, once he knows what to do and he can replicate it in practice, then the next step has to be in the game. But if he doesn't know what he's doing in practice and he can't do it, then putting him in a game situation, all you do is ingrain bad habits, because under fire of game action, you tend to resort to do whatever it is that you do. I use the golf analogy all the time because more people can relate. If you're not hitting the ball well, you go get a big bucket of balls and you start banging it, you're not really doing yourself any good. You've got to work on something. You've got to correct what you're doing, and you got to treat every practice shot as it's as if it's an important shot that's going to win you a few ducats from your buddy. You know, you got to put the same type of energy into practice, and you got to be able to take it from the practice field to the game, but that's only if you know what you're doing. Now, can you do you have to learn the whole playbook? No, because if that's the case, you probably wouldn't start a quarterback for 3 years. But you've got to have enough knowledge to go and run at least a certain part, a certain package of the offense. And that's the line right there. I think just throwing him in and say, go out and make a play, you're just ingraining bad habits. And if you don't do a good enough job around him, you could ruin a quarterback real easy.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com, joining us. Chris, on that rookie quarterback list, too, we mentioned Justin Fields. He's going to start. I know Matt Nagy kind of went out of his way and said, no, when Andy Dalton's healthy, he is our starting quarterback. I know there's some coach speak in there, but let's say Fields gets 2 weeks and is good. You drafted him early. You want him to be the future. Why would Nagy go out of his way to say that? Is that to protect the locker room? What's kind of the angle behind the coach speak there?
Yeah, I think you're trying to protect the guy. I mean, I think that the bottom line is, they feel Justin's not ready to handle a significant part of the offense. They're going to play him now. They feel they need to. What they're trying to do is play the long game. They're trying to figure out the best way to get him ready, and I think this will certainly give him an opportunity. Certainly, I expect him to make some plays, positive plays, but is he going to make good decisions? Is he going to create negative plays with some of his decisions? And then, you know, I think what he's trying to do is build a little bit of a safety net to kind of basically say it without saying, look, he's not ready. He's going to get this opportunity, but this is how we're going to handle it. It's always subject to change. If he lights it on fire and things go well, certainly you can reverse and say, well, you know, this is where we're going now. So I think it's a way to try to protect him. It's also a way to kind of make sure that you've got that. When you go back to Andy Dalton because you feel you need to, it's not like, well, he's not playing well, meaning Justin Fields. You can say, well, our plan all along was go back to Andy Dalton. Well, the reality is they know that probably Justin's going to make some plays that are going to get people excited, but there's also going to be some negative plays, and we saw that in some of his limited action already. I think they're trying to provide that safety net for when he doesn't play well, that people don't just, oh, you know, get going back to Andy Dalton because this guy can't play. No. We're going back to him because that was a plan all along. So it's a full safe measure is the way I read it.
Chris, as far as the NFL, one of the beauties of it, each week we kind of change opinions on teams and the way they look. That's the beauty of the game. Every week gives us a different story and a different chapter in the book on these teams. So we're very early, just 2 weeks in. The long game is still way ahead of us. But anything has jumped out at you on a team or an individual just 2 weeks in that's maybe caught you off guard?
Not so much off guard, but you know, I'm looking for defenses to step up. I thought this past week, I would say maybe the Raiders would be one of them. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a really impressive performance this past week. I thought they were better than they were in week one. And, you know, they were off to 2-0 start. They should go 3-0 this week. I thought they played well on defense, and I thought Derek Carr played well. I'm not saying that overly surprised me, but I think to the degree of which they're doing it has been a pleasant surprise. You know, I think that the Cowboys' play has been pretty good. I thought that the Chargers probably should have won that game.
Yeah.
But I think the Cowboys have played well enough in two games to win it. They're 1-1, and they played pretty well against Tampa. You know, Tennessee is off to – that would be maybe my biggest storyline that I would have thrown out, is how bad they've looked. And I would still throw them in that. But that second half was impressive against Seattle to come back the way they did. They just look really, really bad there. So I'm very curious to see there. I would say overall, you know, I don't know that there's anybody in the AFC South that they may rival before it's all done what we saw in the NFC East last year. That's looking like, man, you know, trying to find a good team there. You know, Tennessee's the only team that has any level of consistency. The other thing that stands out to me is just an overreaching concern. I'm concerned about Carson Wentz and Tua Tagovailoa. I don't know that their bodies are long for the NFL. And if I were both of those organizations, I got to be thinking beyond those quarterbacks. I'm not thinking making a move. I'm just saying I think you got to be prepared this offseason to maybe going in a different direction. So now Tua's got a rib injury, and it shouldn't be that. But, you know, it's just – it's some guys' bodies just don't hold up. And Carson Wentz, I mean – and that poor guy, I mean, he's got two bum ankles. I just don't know if you're them. And I thought that would be a good fit, and I still think it has some potential, but you can't get anything done if you're hobbled, and he seems to be. So that probably concerns me the most. I'm really impressed with what Denver's done. I know they haven't played like really good teams yet, but they're playing well around Teddy Bridgewater. That's been impressive. So, we'll see. I think in the Bay Area, the Niners had a really good defense, and the Raiders have played well for a couple of weeks. So far, so good.
Yeah, when you're thinking about the Niners, again, 2-0, I still think their best football is ahead of them. But to Kyle Shanahan's DNA, I feel like he wants to run, and run more than pass, but still be a balanced team. When you have that many injuries, they lost Mostert already. All three backs last week got injured at some point, in Mitchell, Hasty, and Sermon. They brought in just about every guy that's ever run the ball in the league at this time. Is that as simple as plug and play for a team like that? Or when you miss an entire running back room that's injured, how do you overcome that?
It's tough. Now, they have good run game design, and they can get more backs to be successful by the way they run it, the way they scheme it. But, Jason, you can't. It's not the same as if you've got the frontline starters. That running back room falls into the category of what I just talked about, the previous two quarterbacks. Like, I don't know what the heck you do. I mean, you got to be thinking, am I living under a bad star? Am I just – did I tick somebody off upstairs? I don't know what the deal is, but that is definitely a concern. I agree with you. I think the best football is ahead of them, but they've got to get some breaks health-wise because they do want to run it. And I do think this is a case where, speaking of young quarterbacks, that they're going to bring him along slowly, but they're in a better situation. They got a really good defense. They can run the football well, and they've got a really good quarterback that they can start and win with. I think this is a really good team. I think they've got a chance to be, you know, really good as the season develops. I am very excited about watching the game against Green Bay Sunday night because, you know, I think you can run the football and have success against this Packers defense. Quite frankly, I think the Niners are better, but certainly their handicap with those injuries. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's always interesting to try to defend Aaron Rodgers. But the more and more I watch Green Bay, I keep thinking, man, they've got to get healthy, and they've got to play better on defense if they're going to threaten, because it, once again, looks like Aaron Rodgers and a lot of hope.
Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com joining us. I think that's one of the better games this weekend. Also, Buccaneers and Rams in Los Angeles.
Yes.
As you look at that game, what do you see?
Well, look, the Bucs didn't play well the second half, but they certainly are the team to beat in the NFC. So this is a game that's big for the Rams. And, you know, we saw it a little bit, you know, last week with the Ravens. Well, the Ravens beating the Chiefs was more of, you know, the Chiefs are the favorite, but it's really about the Ravens haven't had success. Not so much the case with the Rams, but you're playing a team at home, and you're playing a team that's the clear favorite to win, certainly the NFC. You've got a quarterback that you're excited about. You feel good about it. That's another case with running back injuries at the beginning, trying to focus on running the football. This is a good Rams team. I think that the NFC West as a whole is very good. I think this is absolutely a winnable game. I like the Rams' chances. Mm-hmm. But this is one of those games that means a lot in terms of, A, it's a competitive division, much more competitive than the one the Bucs are in. So the Rams kind of need it for that. But it also could help if it comes down, and I don't know if it's going to come down to this, frankly, because the Bucs are going to have an easier path with their division, I feel. But if you get close enough, you know, it might help you in home field. It's a big game. But the other, the most important thing is just the know, the belief that you can play this team and beat this team. I think they'll play well, and I actually like their chances in this game. I really do.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun one, certainly on Sunday with Brady against the Rams. And Stafford there just feels right, like you kind of brought up earlier. Just he's been a good quarterback, hasn't had as many opportunities as others, but it just in that system, I think it's everything the Rams envisioned that they would get in that trade.
Well, yeah, they can certainly stretch the field more, and they have more big play opportunities. But, you know, in Detroit, they were never good defensively.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't run the football well enough. Well, he's going to turn the football over because he's constantly trying to throw it a whole bunch in the second half to get back in games. Well, that's the formula to not have success. Don't expect them to have to do that as much here. Team's pretty good defensively, at times better than that defensively. And then offensively, they've got good balance. They've got a good scheme. They've got good weapons. And, man, he and Cooper Kupp has got the best thing going right now, you know, in terms of a quarterback receiver confidence level. So there's a lot of things that he already has that he didn't have in Detroit. Now, what does it mean going forward? I don't know. We certainly – I look at the Bucs as the favorite. But I think this game, particularly at home, means an awful – it means a lot to everybody. But I just think that this is a – you know, show it to me type of game. And I think it's a confidence boost if you're able to win a game like this.
Chris, last week, college football, Alabama, Florida. I didn't think Florida would hang with them, but they more than did and had a chance. A 2-point game surprised me a bit. What'd you think of that game?
Yeah, you know, and here's the thing. It's little things that separate it. Alabama's up 21-3, and they're on the verge of closing this game out pretty early. 3-3 and outs.
Mm-hmm.
And Florida really got in and did a great job utilizing blocking angles, formation variations, a lot of movement, and they got Alabama guessing quite a bit. Alabama was freelancing a little too much defensively, which is not like them. I can see why Nick Saban's been a little bit agitated for the past several weeks because he's got a bunch of talented guys that tend to kind of do what they kind of maybe do think they're better than they are because they've been part of success, but as he always says, this is a new team in a new year. They didn't play with good defensive discipline. And you know what? They're not as explosive on offense, so they can't win those shootout games the same way they did. So they've got to run the football better. They've got to stay more committed to the run. And they're going to have to play better defense schematically, but more importantly, just fundamentally with their run fits, gap control. It's going to be interesting because not this week. They got Southern Miss this week. But next week they've got Ole Miss, and that Ole Miss offense is better than Florida's. And they Alabama struggled with Ole Miss's tempo. So that's going to be real fun. I know we'll probably talk about it next week. But
sure.
This Ole Miss offense, Alabama's not going to stop it. And it's going to be interesting to see what they're able to come up with schematically, but more importantly, how Alabama's offense plays keep away and ball control against that Ole Miss's defense. But that's next week. Both teams have some – well, Ole Miss is off this week, by the way, too, preparing for Alabama, while Alabama's got some work to do against Southern Miss to clean up some of the errors from the Florida game.
You still think, though, that Alabama is the best team?
You know what? Georgia's playing a little bit better now. It to me, I see a lot of good. I don't see a lot of – I really don't see any great.
Huh.
I think Georgia is – I mean, it's early. You know, I think we're going to see – teams really step up. I think Georgia's played a little cleaner than Alabama, but I think they've got a little bit better defense right now. Georgia, I think, has got the best defense in the country, and we'll see their offense progress. I do think it's going to be Georgia-Alabama in the SEC championship game. I think those two teams have a good chance of both making the playoffs, but yeah, I think it's really close at this point. I see people have asked me about who's in the top. I think there's only maybe two teams that are playing, maybe three, at a playoff level. But it's early,
yeah.
And I think that's going to change as the season progresses.
Well, people always want to see what Notre Dame's up to. Their matchup with Wisconsin this week. Wisconsin, of course, had their opportunities in their loss to Penn State. What do you think about that matchup with Notre Dame and Wisconsin?
I'm curious to see the play at the line of scrimmage. Wisconsin, I don't know that Notre Dame's offensive line matches up all that well against Wisconsin. We'll see. I worry about Wisconsin's ability to throw the football well. I think there's some issues there. I think it's a little closer than people think. Maybe give Wisconsin a little bit of an edge, but I think it's a toss-up game. I think Notre Dame's got a chance here. The quarterback situation, I'd give Jack Cohen, obviously the former Wisconsin quarterback that's at Notre Dame, a little bit of an edge here. But I think it's a closer game than people think. I thought Notre Dame showed good improvement in last week's game against Purdue, but I think both are vulnerable. I think both are good teams. I don't think either one are special. I don't think either one can win this game decisively unless just one team plays very sloppy and turns the football over.
The only other game that has two top 25 teams is Arkansas and A&M, two SEC teams. Either chance for either of those guys to kind of get in your Alabama and Georgia conversation?
Well, Arkansas's played very well. They're physical, and I thought they did a great job against Texas. We're going to see against A&M. A&M has got a great defense. I think they are in the mix, in the discussion, in the top of the SEC West defensively. But A&M's offensive line is not graded out well thus far this year. And they've got, obviously, a young quarterback in Zach Calzada. Haynes King got injured in that first game, so they've had to make some adjustments. This game is going to tell us a whole lot about the SEC West. I think Ole Miss may be number two behind Alabama in the SEC West. But A&M and Arkansas have something to say about it. And obviously the winner is going to be in a better position to make some noise. So I think this is a really exciting game. And I think, again, I would give A&M a little bit of an edge in terms of overall playmakers. But I think if this is a line of scrimmage game, Arkansas is a little bit better on the offensive line than A&M. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Strap it on.
Look forward to it. Chris, when people go to LandryFootball.com, what kind of good stuff can they get there?
Well, we're really excited. Obviously, during the football season, we focus on the game breakdowns and the recap. So in the early part of the week, Monday and Tuesday, for example, all the NFL games, all the college games by conference, we got the full breakdowns. Why things happen, not just what happened, but why it happened. So we break it down for you inside the film room. And then, like, starting today on Wednesday, getting ready for all the previews, and that's what we're going to have for you tonight and tomorrow. All the college previews, all the games that we mentioned, plus every other game by conference that we have. So all the Pac-12 games, all the SEC games, Big Ten, ACC, Big 12, whatever, and then Group of Five. And then we've got all the NFL games. So it's like having your own scouting department, coaching department for less than a magazine subscription. It's less than $10 a month. And in fact, it's even less than that if you take advantage of the year membership, the football season sale. So all the notebooks every day, what's going behind the curtains and, you know, teams, organizations and practices. We got it all for you. The draft, free agency, recruiting, college and the NFL love. If you like football, we think you're going to love LandryFootball.com.
That's where you get it. It's great stuff, Chris. We appreciate checking in with you each week. Have a good week, and we will talk to you next week.
Hey, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it, Jason. Take care.
All right, thank you. That's Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. That's where you can get all that amazing stuff, resources, just football junkies. You will absolutely love it. So much information there, and we appreciate having Chris on each and every week. All right, still 30 minutes left. We got to talk about the crossover to come up. We got A's and Mariners coming up at the top of the hour. Also dive into a little bit of what's going on tonight in baseball as we're winding down, a week and a half to go as races are still being decided. We'll go over that when we come back here on KHDK. Back here on Sports 1140 KHDK, Timber Creek and Sierra Pines Golf in Roseville. For info on membership, tournaments, and tee times, go to timbercreekgc.com. Thanks again to Lincoln Kennedy joining us in the last hour, and Chris Landry earlier this hour, our weekly guest talking football. You can go to LandryFootball.com to get all that information. Chris, in studio, I have the, and I think you are watching it as well, the Red Sox and the Mets.
No, I'm watching AEW.
That started?
Yeah.
Yes. But you saw the Red Sox uniforms.
I did.
Thoughts?
I'm okay with it.
I'm not the biggest uniform. You know, a lot of people are really into uniforms. Where I get a little bit bothered by uniforms is when I, if I were to turn on the game, I could tell it's Fenway Park. But I would never have think of the Red Sox as blue and yellow.
No?
No. Do you?
Well, they've been wearing them all season.
No, they haven't.
And they have.
All season.
Yeah.
Every game.
Not every game.
Well, yeah. No, I know, but I've seen them. This situation, though.
Well, you know why they keep on wearing them, don't you?
Why?
They got a 6-game winning streak.
Okay. So they're keeping it going.
Yeah.
I know the NBA has kind of made that more of a thing with city jerseys and like all these different alternate uniforms. I don't know. I just, when teams kind of completely get out of their color scheme, I just think that's a little bit weird. Even though I like these colors, they look very much like UCLA.
You know what it is, don't you?
What's that?
It's the Boston Marathon, like the tag colors.
Those colors are blue and yellow?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they're wearing blue and yellow. They're winning, most importantly for them, in this wild card race and division races around the Major League Baseball. They are up 7-1 right now on the New York Mets. And a couple of things baseball-wise regarding things tonight. News on the Giants front. This coming a medical update from the Giants. Johnny Cueto is scheduled to make a rehab start with AAA here in Sacramento tomorrow, or in Salt Lake for Sacramento. He's slated to throw about 30 to 40 pitches. And then Jake McGee continues to rehab in San Francisco. McGee was put on the 10-day DL. He is part of that back end of the bullpen for the Giants, who entering play tonight when they get another matchup with the Padres are just one up on the Dodgers. Dodgers and the Rockies in Colorado. Giants are in San Diego against the Padres. And the interesting thing coming out about the Padres right now, you know, they've been disappointed. Their season, the way it was going at one point, they were the team that was supposed to be right up here with the Dodgers right at the end. Instead, it's the Giants. The Padres are 21.5 games out at 76-74. Someone tweeted this the other day that I saw this, and they said, just put this in perspective and take it for what it's worth. The Padres are 76-74. The Tigers are 74-78. Nobody thought the Tigers would be good at all. They're not that much different than the San Diego Padres, who were good last year, invested in the team this year, and they have underachieved. So 21.5 games out. They've lost 4 in a row. They still can dictate this division based on how they play against the Dodgers and the Giants. But in the wild card race, because the Cardinals just don't lose anymore.
They are on fire.
They've won 10 in a row, and they're leading again today. And the Padres are now 5 out of the wild card race. So they're just slip-sliding away. But on that Padre note, there was a lot of things made about last week. Was it earlier this week? The little dugout situation with Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis. And are just things falling apart there? Well, here's their manager, Jace Tingler, talking about the Padres in the clubhouse.
I don't think I've lost the clubhouse. Ultimately, we haven't played the way that I think we're capable of. And you know, let me start with this: is as the manager, ultimately, I'm responsible for the players' performances, and I take the responsibility, you know, on. I don't look to point the finger anywhere else. I start with myself. I do think we're capable of playing better. But at the end of the day, I don't believe I've lost the clubhouse. I believe a lot in our guys. I have from day one. I have throughout the offseason, spring training, and in season. It's a group that, as frustrating as it is at times to not play to our potential, it's still a group that I love, that I believe in.
Well, I commend him for, you know, say, hey, it starts with me, and that might be right, but he is the one that's the most vulnerable. They're not getting rid of Tatis. They're not getting rid of Machado. They're not moving some of those talented pieces. He's the one. He's the one they're going to look at. Here's more from manager Tingler.
When you go through hard times, you know, A, it's tough, but you also find out about people, and when you're able to move forward, usually those experiences make you better down the line.
Well, and this is a situation now that's starting to get a little bit more talk, a little bit more momentum in San Diego. If there's ever an opportunity for Bruce Bochy to manage again, would it be with the Padres? I know he would love that lineup, love that roster, and return to San Diego where he played, where he was once a manager. If he still wants to manage, I think very highly of him. Maybe that would be the exact guy. Boch is really laid back, fits San Diego well. He's got a talented roster. Chris, I like Bochy. I could see that happening.
Will he have his guys there?
You know, I like my guy, Nando. He's a guy. He's my guy.
Do you know what you're not supposed to say if you haven't lost the clubhouse?
That we haven't lost the clubhouse?
I don't think I've lost the clubhouse.
Yes, you need to know that.
Yes.
And the players will tell you that they haven't, right, publicly. If it's entered your mind, maybe that was the question that was asked, and when you lose, people will say that, oh, this team's not playing for them. They're underachieving. They're not playing well. I don't know that anybody purposely, to my knowledge, goes out and underperforms for their coach on purpose. Their career is still online. I'm sure it's happened. I know it probably happens every once in a while. They haven't played well. The Dodgers, the Giants, everyone has outplayed them by far, that drastically. And, you know, I look at Machado, hit a couple home runs last night. Tatis is getting closer to 40. There's some guys that are having good years. It's pitching's let them down. They've had some injuries too. And I thought when it was first reported that they were going to get Scherzer, I thought, oh, man, here come the Padres. What a good move. And then here come the Dodgers kind of sneaking in and taking him away. So they're going to miss it. They're going to miss the postseason.
I don't think anyone purposely plays bad for a manager, but you definitely zone someone out.
Yeah, and you don't, like, their speeches, like, and whatever. The stuff they're saying is like, yeah, okay, well, he won't be here next year. That kind of thing is probably what goes on, and that's sad, but it does. It does happen. And when you have a down year like they've had, that's what'll be the fallout from that. So tonight, there will be some games that will matter, certainly in the baseball races here, and as the one we mentioned, the Dodgers and the Rockies, certainly the Giants and the Padres coming up a little bit later. Dodgers about to start in Colorado. There were several games today that were postponed, so weather's becoming an issue, and the Dodgers have to feel good about their game with the Rockies, knowing that they're throwing out Walker Buehler, who's 14-4 with a 2.39 ERA. As far as the Giants, it's going to be Scott Kazmir getting an opportunity here for the Giants when they take on the Padres tonight. And Vince Velasquez, who's been roughed up this year, so hopefully the Giants' offense can get going. The games of impact on weather, Pirates and Reds, White Sox, Tigers, Royals, Indians, we're all postponed today. And, of course, coming up at 6, we will have A's baseball when the A's will take on the Mariners. Cole Irvin will be on the mound. He's had 10 wins this year. And the A's have to get this win. The A's will play tomorrow in the day. We will follow that before Thursday Night Football tomorrow, as it's the Mariners and the A's. And then the Thursday night game has the quarterback situation that we talked about to start the show. Carolina Panthers taking on the Houston Texans with the rookie QB Davis Mills starting for the Houston Texans. So tonight, the games to watch as far as the playoff race goes. The Rays did beat the Blue Jays 7-1. Yankees are in action right now, taking on the Rangers. Rangers lead that one 3-0. And speaking of being on the hot seat, I've seen some rumors about Aaron Boone there in New York. I know they had huge expectations, and they should, for all the money that they've spent in New York. And really, the rest of the race, you get the Red Sox up big right now on the Mets 9-1 with Chris Sale pitching in that one. So you got teams that could be the spoilers, teams that could get hot at the right time, which is what the Giants did in their World Series runs in 10, 12, and 14. A team to watch out for, I'm telling you, is the Cardinals. They're playing the Brewers, who are a really good team. We mentioned the Cardinals' win streak right now is at 10, and they're already up 6-0 in the third inning today in Milwaukee.
Did you happen to see they're showing a replay of it? I don't know who was on second, but they scored on a sac fly from second base.
Yeah, it was. I think that was the guy from here, Dylan Carlson. It was the fly ball that was caught. A great catch off the wall, but the outfielder fell, kind of flipped it forward. The runner never stopped.
That's just heads-up baseball.
Gritty heads-up baseball there by the Cardinals, and that's what they're doing right now. Two-run first, four-run second. They got a 6-0 lead on a Brewer team that is really good. I like Milwaukee's pitching. They've already chased Brett Anderson out and put up the runs, and so the Cardinals trying to extend the win streak to 11 games. This team was 71-69. So, .500 team, trying to find a way in the playoff race. You win 10 in a row, and you got to 81-69. And trying to win their 11th in a row today, up 6-0 through three innings. Amazing. So again, Chris, your dream is to get the A's and the Cardinals in the wild card, both advance through the wild card and make it all the way to the World Series.
Yes, but specifically, I want the Giants and the Dodgers to tie, play that 163rd
game.
Third game,
uh-huh.
For the loser to lose to the Cardinals, and then the Cardinals to sweep the winner.
Sweep the winner.
Yeah, they don't even get a win.
And so the Cardinals win out the regular season.
Yes.
Win out for a while in the postseason.
And take out 2 100-win teams.
It could happen. The way they're playing right now, they've got to be ultimately confident. So again, Cardinals up 6-0. The A's and the Giants both still coming up later. Dodgers have just begun with Colorado. Capital Casino is back with indoor gaming and dining located inside at 411 North 16th Street in downtown Sacramento. All right, break time for us. We'll come back, wrap some things up here, get you to the A's and the Mariners, plus the crossover. That's all straight ahead here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Still time for you to participate in our KHDK Daily Over-Under. If you go to KHDK.com every day, we got a question there for you on our Over-Under. Today, it's hits for Matt Chapman tonight. 1.5, over or under. And all you have to do is participate in that for your opportunity to qualify for a chance to win a $50 gift card from Twin Peaks. So all you have to do is just participate in the contest. Over or under. Click one of the two. I'll take the under tonight. 1.5 hits, maybe one for Matt Chapman. He was crazy hot for a while. Hopefully he can hit some home runs today for the A's as they get ready to take on the Seattle Mariners game we have coming your way here in just a few moments. Chris, I know you said you were watching, checking out, what is it, NEW tonight? Big night?
Oh, my God.
What?
NEW?
What'd I say?
You said NEW.
What is it?
AEW.
AEW.
Just spelled new.
Yes, I did. Because it's that's how I look at it. So AEW, a lot of people are talking about this. Is it a good show going on so far?
They've only had one match.
Yeah.
It was about 40 minutes long.
What?
It did not end with a winner. And it was incredible.
Okay.
Ended with a winner, but there was a disqualification.
Oh, of course it did. How long is this going to be tonight? Is this like a six-hour thing? Oh, just 2 hours. Okay. So, but the one match was 40 minutes?
Yeah.
How many matches are scheduled?
Six.
Oh, better speed it up a bit.
Oh, we'll see.
Get the show going.
Or maybe it's 3 hours. I don't know.
Okay. Well, that's going on.
I don't know. Who cares?
Come on. I'm watching NEW. You're watching AEW. Yeah. Tonight, we will be checking out the A's and the Mariners, as that's coming your way here shortly. I also had seen this the other day. I meant to bring this up. A former King, one of the King's favorites. He wasn't here that long, but everybody loves Shump. Iman Shumpert. I showed you his appearance on Dancing with the Stars. I thought he was pretty good.
Very good.
Yeah. Athletes usually do pretty well on that show.
It's a lot of footwork and practice.
Yeah.
Like, if you are a professional athlete, you have already endured thousands of hours of practice and just working on little things.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that show's been on a long time. It's on, so I'll flip through, maybe see it. I didn't see this one until people posted it on Twitter. You look good. Look like you're having fun. That's hopefully what you see and you like. What I've seen when people, whether it's been an athlete, an actress, an actor, a singer, someone of influence, the amount of work they put in on that, like they're working on that all day long, all days long to get up for their routine. So they work hard at this stuff. But it's all for entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. All right. It is that time to get our crossover from the morning show.
What's happening on the Carmichael Dave Show? Let's find out right now with the crossover.
You believe it?
Here's today's crossover.
Jason, crossover question for you. 34 years ago today, the show Full House debuted on ABC. Of the 80s and 90s, please rank for us the three favorite sitcoms, 80s and 90s.
I feel like it's more 80s for me. That's my wheelhouse. That's where I, you know, was really probably watching.
You're going to name all these shows that I never watched.
No, you've watched these. Well, you've heard of the shows, whether you watched them. Let me think. 80s. Because would you feel that way about the 90s? Like, is 90s more accurate for you, early 2000s?
Oh, yeah. So what was it? What did he say about?
Your three favorites from the 80s or 90s, sitcoms.
Yeah, but he said family.
It was Full House.
Full House was
34
years ago.
Yeah.
So that is 87?
Yes.
Ironically, 32 years ago today, Family Matters.
Which was a show I did not
premiered.
See. Did not watch. I know it. I've and heard of it. Obviously, Urkel and all that.
That's my top three.
Family Matters?
Yeah.
Now, this is the case study here, is that was in your wheelhouse. That's when you're growing up.
Yep.
You're watching sitcoms. Do you think, and you can't undo it, but like if you were starting it now, you did not see it then, would you like it?
No.
Yeah.
But I think it's TV's just different now.
It is different now, and that's probably, it's an unfair question, but I think all of us get attached to it and nostalgic. And that's like, oh, that's what I watched. That's what I, that helped, I don't know, formulate me or form me in some of my opinions or jokes or pop culture things.
Because like John Mulaney, did you ever watch his sitcom?
No.
So it came out.
What was his sitcom?
John Mulaney.
The John Mulaney Show?
Yeah, it was with him and Nassim Pedrad.
Oh, I
watched every episode. Okay. I liked it, but it also had like the studio audience, and it was shot like an 80s, 90s sitcom, which I thought it was funny, but people just aren't into that anymore.
Yeah. I don't like laugh tracks. I don't mind studio audience.
But it's weird.
Audience.
Like if you were to take, but you need it if you're going to go back and watch those shows. Like Seinfeld, it has to have a laugh track.
Yeah, I guess. But I just don't like, I don't like them to tell me when to laugh. You know, like that's, it's either funny or it's not. So along those lines, I would say to answer Dave's question, for me, my three favorite sitcoms, it's Cheers. This is not going to, I mean, again, different time. This is not going to sound good. The Cosby Show. I mean, I did like it. I loved it at that time. Probably Three's Company. Like three different types of shows. Three's Company.
Was that 80s or 70s?
It was it crossed over. It was late 70s, early 80s. Totally, it'd probably be a different kind of show now. But yeah, I'd say Three's Company, Cheers, and Cosby Show.
Mine would be
Family Matters.
Family Matters, Seinfeld, and Boy Meets World.
Ah, I was thinking you were going to say Saved by the Bell.
No. I don't. That's not really a sitcom.
What do you mean?
It's not a, it's a Saturday morning show.
Okay.
Like Hang Time. Hang Time isn't a...
That's, yeah, I... Okay, okay.
You know what Hang Time is?
Yes.
Oh, is that because of Theus?
Richie Theus? Dick Butkus?
Dick Butkus.
Yeah.
Anthony Anderson got his start on that.
Okay.
And there's a couple that got married, that they met each other on that show, and they're married, and they're still married. And one is a very well-known actor. He was in Hostel, and he was in Friday Night Lights, and he was in...
Oh.
This is going to drive me crazy.
Okay, we're going to have to look this up to get it before the show is over.
Hernandez.
What's that?
The last name is Hernandez.
Okay. Hang Time cast. Let's see. Jay Hernandez. Okay.
And then the girl that played on the team.
Oh, gotcha. Well, good. It worked. A success story there. But yeah, Reggie Theus was in it. So was Dick Butkus. Weren't they both coaches? Did they just, is it like a coach swapped out or?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think Theus came in the second season.
Gotcha.
I can't remember any episodes. I remember like every game ended with like a last second shot.
Yeah.
And I remember there was a episode where Anthony Anderson was smoking to try and lose weight.
I also, aren't those like those episodes, isn't the court like three court, not even three quarters.
It's
not even half court. It's like 3-point line.
But that's
three
every
line.
Show. That's that one. That's yeah. Family Matters, Saved by the Bell, Fresh Prince.
Yeah, it kind of feels like it's a half court trying to play full court. Yeah. So there you go. Thank you, Dave, for the crossover. Dave is back tomorrow morning. We're back tomorrow. Remember, after A's baseball tomorrow and before Thursday Night Football, that's it for us. Thanks again to Lincoln Kennedy. Thanks to Chris Landry. For Chris, I'm Jason. We appreciate all of you listening and following us along. A's baseball comes your way next right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. See ya.